Welcome, everybody, to another episode of ServiceNow Insights. I'm your host, Bobby Brill, and today we're going to get deeper into the world of AI, but this time into voice AI, which is this tremendous product we have here at ServiceNow. And joining us is one of my favorite guests, Midam Kim. Midam, thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening to this podcast. And my name is Midam Kim. I am an ML engineer at ServiceNow, and I'm also a researcher, lifelong researcher of speech in the wild.
And that's going to be the really interesting part of this, because not only is voice AI a tremendous product, but it's the idea that, you know, how we communicate now is getting away from we're going to type in text all the time to we're now I can just talk. I mean, it's kind of ubiquitous. We see people walking down the street just having conversations with their phone out in the open, and really conversing and talking to AI or talking to a device or talking through a device is pretty much a standard way of communication, but now it's becoming even more prevalent as we're getting away from having to manually input things, correct?
Yeah, so for some reason, computer system has been developed with text as a main communication channel. So we type and we read. But then now, thanks to the development of the technology, speech technology, now we can actually talk and converse with this machine. So when you are multitasking, when you are walking, when you're traveling, or when you are in too much of frustration so you don't want to really type, then you can talk to our voice agent and solve your problem. So for example, your computer is broken. And then because your computer is broken, you can't really use your computer. You should use your phone, right? To report this issue, obviously. So you call our voice agent, and then you can talk to the voice agent what the issue is. And then you can make it issue a ticket so that your issue can be taken care of by our system. So that's one thing as an employee of a large company that you can do with our voice agent.
And that kind of spider webs out into all the thinking of why should I bother sitting down typing for 5 minutes when I can just call and just throw it on speakerphone or walk around my house or my office and go, hey, this thing is broken. I need to fix this. Or, hey, I have this problem. Provide me this solution, correct?
Previously, we had to use our computer system and typing and keyboard. So it really restricted our span of mobility. But now, because we can talk, we can use a variety of devices, including your cell phone, which is closer to you than your computer. And because this is a voice agent, not live agent, you don't have to be waiting in the line.
Right. Yeah. The last thing I want to do is like, yes. Great, now you're going to be on hold and I have to listen to some terrible music in the background. And now I'm just equally and more efficiently upset at what's happening.
Right. The first part of any live agent's experience is that you have to wait for 5 minutes or 1 hour. You don't have to do that anymore. And then all the heavy lifting of getting the details of your issues, that can be done by voice agents. So it is actually helping, it can actually be helping live agents too.
And since ServiceNow is an enterprise platform, you know, we're talking about large organizations like airlines and logistics companies and manufacturing. And it's actually their employees that are the ones talking to the agent. So it's not like we're selling to, who's actually using this and who the customer is very different. How does that dynamic change the way we're building this platform?
So we are building voice agents for employees of our customers, wherever they are. They can be in front of the computer, or they can be in gas stations, or they can be fixing something. So they definitely need this kind of voice agent to solve their issues at the moment. We are also building our products for customers of our customers, not just employees. So for example, people can be just walking around at the airport and they want to solve their issues about their flight or baggage. So even in that kind of cases, they can talk to our voice agents and solve their problems.
Right, because that is a different way of looking at things. I think a lot of times with enterprises, you hear all these, there's B2B and then B2B2C in this instance, correct?
Yes. we're trying to solve problems in both parts too.
How do you balance between those two? How do you align your research and your design?
We have incredible teams. We have multiple teams who are working on different types of problems. So that's how we are balancing, or are doing that's how we're doing our best to solve different kinds of problems. We just have to have a great awareness and readiness to tackle these different types of problems. We need to know that these are different problems, because when you are talking about employees who are in front of desks within offices, then the noise level will be just okay. Or it can be just background people, just their colleagues. But when you are talking about a customer who's walking or running at the airport, then the noise level will be a lot bigger and there will be more people who are talking in the background. So these are different kinds of problems. And then also when you're talking about employees of an enterprise, you already know a lot about this person who's calling and which department this person is, like what kind of work this person is doing. You have a lot of context about this caller. But when you are trying to serve a user who's at the airport, just a traveler, then you don't know much about this person. So the authentication processes will be different. You have really small amount of information about this caller. So you have to design and think differently to serve different kinds of users.
You know, you're in the gate, you're in on, or it's somebody on the tarmac, maybe it's actually the employee. There's you know, headphones and gloves and you know, if it's me, fat fingers trying to do something, you know, just hitting the button and speaking makes more sense. But if you are, you said qualifying that, or how do you build for an ever-changing environment?
It's a very difficult problem. It's a very difficult problem. And that's where, for me, my personal background as a linguist and also cognitive scientist comes in, because I try to approach these problems from audience design. So where the audience is and what is the context around this audience and what the audience needs. And that kind of thinking really prepares me better to tackle these issues with the technology that we have.
Explain how you start looking at this. What is those data points, or what are those things that you're looking at, and how you start to build the solution around it?
For example, when we go back to the analogy of travelers, travelers are many different kinds of people. Not just the person who's sitting in front of the computer. They're relatively young and relatively in a calm situation. But then when you are a traveler, you can be an elderly person. You can be a kid. You can be a native speaker or non-native speaker. You can have really frustrated emotion. So all sorts of human cognition variability comes in.
So, okay, I want to ask you then about the idea of world building. We want to talk about this small world that we're building. So, you know, we'll continue on this idea of airlines and airplanes and the aviation industry, because that's where there's a lot of things going on. So talk to us more about the uniqueness of something like this world of aviation.
Okay, so when we keep the analogy of airports or airline traveling, it's very, very complex situation, environment, because there are different kinds of people, different kinds of situation, and the emotional load is high because you don't want to miss your flight. You want to go somewhere. You don't want to be missed. So the stake is high for the task resolution. Task resolution is really important. And because of the diversity of the users and their information, their identity information, very naturally, OOV, out of vocabulary, or rare word issue comes in. My name is different from yours. My record ID is different from yours. My date of departure is different from yours. So there are a lot of different rare word issues and rare conditions issues are coming in. And then they also, the users. The users or callers are coming from different backgrounds. So for example, even if they're speaking the same language, English, which is a global language in the world now, their accents are all different. And their fluency levels are all different. And biological situations are all different. So there are elderly people and young people, and their speaking speeds are all different. Their voice qualities are all different. Volumes are different. So you have to deal with all these different types of problems all at the same time. And it is extremely important to think about these diversities in the first place so that we can sort out the problems and tackle each one at a time.
And then you also mentioned, and I want you to kind of, you know, really explain more of this linguistic challenge that I think is really interesting of the accents and the language and even the code switching where it's going back and forth where I'm speaking one language, but I got borrow words and rare words and acronyms and all sorts of, you know, language soup.
I recently gave a talk at New York about this exact problem. So the title of the talk was My Name Is. So we have to repeat a lot, especially your name or your reservation or dates or prices. And we call it alphanumeric expression. So all these alphanumeric expressions, their nature is that they're really rare in the training materials for our speech technology models. But then they're rare. They're not registered. So for example, my name, M-I-D-A-M, is a really unique one, even as a Korean. So it is not well-trained by these machines. So it doesn't understand. Like when I say M-I-D-A-M, that string is just a really rare one for these machines. So it just doesn't understand. So I have to repeat myself again and again. And actually, that's the same for live agents because my name is a unique one.
But sure, then, I can imagine you respond to your name is Midam and you hear Madam or Madam.
I know.
Eventually just go, yeah, I hear you. Yeah, it's me. Yes, I raised my hand. If you hear Madam, Madam, Madam. Yeah, it's me. It's Midam. Thank you. Just give me what I need.
I know. So my name at Starbucks is Kim, not Midam, because I don't want to deal with that. But then the thing is that with human beings, human live agents, there are ways to tackle this issue. I can use different analogies and they have more patience. They have better perception system.
Building this out, building out these libraries, if that's the right word, or the training for this, how does that happen?
It can be about model training. So just provide more materials, more diverse materials to the models for speech synthesis and speech recognition and also LLM. But it can be also about smart using of the configurations, the way we can use those models and the way we can make the architecture in a smarter way. That can be a way too. So we are trying both.
With all of this that we're doing, you know, we've in the previous episode, we talked about evaluation, and now we're talking about building it. Walk us through the framework to make this enterprise level, which is where we're at.
Enterprise problem is a scale problem for me. So it is a huge amount of problem, huge amount of diversity that we have to deal with very efficiently. That's an enterprise problem. But to my eye, it is a human problem because what we sell is human communication in the end. So our secret sauce to solve this problem is like hiring a linguist like me. So we can view this from the bottom of the problem. The bottom of the problem is that it is definitely a human problem. And as a linguist, the framework that I'm trying to use is that there will be this, from the language standpoint, there will be sounds that we listen to, sounds that we have to speak, so that it can be understood by the other party. And then there will be words, words that we have to choose correctly and properly so that it can be understood by the other party. And also we have to be understood, able to understand what the bot says to us too. And then there will be interaction level of things. So how fast the bot responds to what we, when we say to us when we say things. So it's about turn taking. It's about how fast or how slow the bot speaks, and the and when the bot speaks anything, whether it is contextually proper. So is it really remembering what we discussed before? Or is it repeating the same thing, same questions again and again, as if it didn't hear that anything before? So these three levels of linguistic layers are one of the things, a few of the things that we have to take care of. So that's a linguistic standpoint, a linguistic framework that I try to apply to this problem. And that's about language. And also there can be meta levels or paralinguistic layers. Something like who this person is. Is this person male or female or elderly or kid or young? Or is this person accented or not? Or is this person disabled? Is this person stuttering? All those different things about the user, who the person is.
Give me a line reading. Give me some examples. I want to hear your riff on this.
Okay, so for example, I'm from South Korea, and when I first came to US, it was difficult to talk to people, not because I didn't speak English. I could speak English. My scores were great, but then still, I was a really awkward person because I didn't know when to talk. So I was not mastered the US English way of turn taking, right? So like I was like interrupting people too much, or I was not speaking when people were expecting me to talk. So turn taking is a really important part of this ping pong game of conversation. So there are things that I do. There are things that the other party is expecting from me as a conversation partner.
Like when there is a point where I've stopped speaking and I've come to the end of my sentence, and you should pick up that cue.
Yeah. And then I was not good at that. Maybe I'm still not good at that yet.
No, I'm just interrupting you.
We're mastering. I think we're constantly mastering that skill in our lifetime, and we have to adjust that actually. Because now after spending almost like, I don't know, like 20 more years in US, when I go back to the Korea, people might think that I'm an awkward person. So we have to change that context all the time, dynamically. And then because human beings are good at that, we think that human conversation is easy. And if you're not good at that, you're going to be an awkward person. You're going to be a person who you don't want to work with, or just a person who you want to avoid. And our voice agent should not be that one.
Now that AI is really our partner in all of this, explain that partnership as we wrap up.
Yeah, it's like teaching a kid how to speak. How to speak properly and correctly to different kinds of people. It's like raising a kid. So we raised this kid, computer kid, for a long time now on how to text, how to write and read. And now it's our time to teach this kid how to speak and how to listen. So it's the next phase of parenting this kid. And when it masters how to speak to us in a proper and correct way in different kinds of situations for different kinds of people, then I think it'll be really, really empowering. And we will find a way. I mean, I know that there can be some concerns about AI and it's doing too much. There can be some fear. But at the same time, I think we will be able to find a way on how we can collaborate with this machine, now speaking machine, in a really, really empowering and wonderful way that we didn't think about before.
You know, I want to end on that positive and just reiterate what you said, this idea of empowering and wonderful. And I don't want to oversell it, but I don't want to undersell that, because that's really important to what we're doing, that we have people like you who are bringing in the linguistics and the psychology and the education and the guidance to really make something like this good.
Yeah, it's a tool. It's a really powerful and good tool. We can make it good. We can make it great.
There we go. See, yeah. And on the, we got to end on the positive, the great, not good, great. It's always a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for all of your insights.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And if you have any more interest in this subject, please hit subscribe so you never miss an episode of ServiceNow Insights. And of course, check out our show notes for more links and information to everything we've talked about here. I'm your host, Bobby Brill. Thanks for listening.